Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Ray Pritchard, pardon me, Dr. Ray Pritchard, and now Steve Jordahl from the AFR News team is with us. Thank you for listening to AFR. And we've been talking a lot about what's happening in Washington, D.C. with these the Professor Ford, the woman who accuses Judge Brett Kavanaugh when he was 17 years old. I think he's 50-something, 55 now. She says when he was 17, he sexually assaulted her at a party. And so she's telling that story, I guess, over and over and over and over. I don't know how long it takes to tell that, but she's telling that to the her.
It's going slowly. Can just
fire away, Steve.
Before we go, I'm concerned. I was watching on Facebook Live, and I was seeing people giving CPR to somebody in the window back behind me. And
we have a CPR training class.
I know, and I just was worried that people might think that maybe, you know, if somebody was in distress, it's okay. Just a class. It's okay.
Oh, by the way, keeping Stephen, and I know we got stories to get to.
Yeah.
Stephen Ray, Walker's too young to remember this, but probably knows about what happened. Ray, it just seems to me that this only happens with Republican candidates for Supreme Court. In other words, Robert Bork, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh. Democrats.
Not to mention the one that didn't make, that had to withdraw in the middle.
I'm Gonzalez?
I'll come up with a name in a second.
I know what
you're. Ruined his family.
Huh?
Miguel Estrada.
Estrada, right.
Yeah.
Right, how come this never happens to Democrat
candidates? Republicans vote on issues. They vote on if this guy's qualified to sit on the court. They vote on if the judicial philosophy agrees, or they don't wage jihad.
Yeah.
They simply advise and consent.
Mm-hmm. Well, right.
That's where we are today. Yeah. I mean, you look at in this hearing right now, the difference between Rachel Mitchell, the questions she is asking go to the facts of Dr. Ford's testimony versus the grandstanding by the Democrats on the other side. And there's a stark difference in what's happening in the cross-examination right now.
Hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues. All right, Steve, you've been paying attention to this.
I've been watching all morning. It's been exceedingly frustrating to watch from a perspective of those who want a clarity on whether Brett Kavanaugh would be a good Supreme Court justice or not. Because, frankly, these allegations, Tim, and I know you've pointed this out, have absolutely nothing to do with whether he'd be a good Supreme Court justice. They may speak to his character when he was a teenager. And if the rape allegations are true or attempted rape, maybe would disqualify him. But what's going on this morning is that all the Republicans are ceding their questions to this lady prosecutor. She has 5 minutes to shoot a couple questions, and it's building slowly. She's laying the groundwork for further questions, but every 5 minutes, she's interrupted preposterously, and Democrats come, and if there needed to be rehabilitation on the spot, immediately they rehabilitate her and clarify or obfuscate things so that it helps her. And then we get to go back to these questions. And the questions at the beginning were questions like, is this a correct map of where you lived? This is a letter you sent to the Senate. Is it correct? And it builds slowly. She did. And
who's she, you're saying?
The prosecutor. Rachel Mitchell. Now, it goes a little too far into the weeds. I'm going to play a long clip. It's 2 minutes long. It's long. And it goes too far into the weeds to get into exactly what the details are that she's being asked about here, except that she's being asked about a letter that or records that Ms. Ford gave to the Washington Post or related to the Washington Post. This was the first time that I felt like she had some effective questioning going. Listen to this. This is our latest clip. I think it's what?
In your text to the Washington Post dated 7-6, so that's the very first statement we have from you, you put in there, quote, have therapy records talking about it. I want to make sure I understand that. Did you already have your therapy records at that time?
I had looked at them online to see if they existed, yes.
Okay, so this was something that was available to you via a computer, like a patient portal?
Actually, no, it was in the office of a provider.
Okay.
She helped me go through the record to locate whether I had had record of this conversation that I had remembered.
Did you show a full or partial set of those marriage therapy records to the Washington Post?
I don't remember. I remember summarizing for her what they said. So I'm not quite sure if I actually gave her the record.
Okay. So it's possible that the reporter did not see these notes.
I don't know if she's, I can't recall whether she saw them directly or if I just told her what they said.
Okay. Have you shown them to anyone else besides your counsel?
Just the counsel.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that Brett Kavanaugh's name is not listed in those notes?
His name is not listed in those notes.
Would it also be fair to say that the therapist's notes that we've been talking about say that there were four boys in the room?
It describes the sexual assault, and it says erroneously by four boys. So the therapist got the content of it wrong.
And you corrected that to the Washington Post reporter, correct?
Correct.
So we're talking, this is the first time that we see some substantive questions being asked of whether she is remembering correctly or telling the truth. The particular details were, did the Washington Post, when they wrote this detailed story about what you told them, did they corroborate your story with some records? Well, yes, they did. Well, maybe they didn't. Well, maybe they're just relying on my story. It may be going more to the Washington Post. I play it, though, as an example of that we're going a little bit now, finally, remarkably, because it's in 5-minute increments, past the gentle, is this where you live? Can you say that this is, you know, your picture, whatever, to some substantive questions. And I know, Walker, you just picked up on something, too, as we were coming back from
before
break.
Before we got back from the break, the female prosecutor who's asking questions on behalf of the Republican senators asked Dr. Ford if how she got to Washington, D.C., and she said that she flew. The reason that is important is because Dr. Ford and her attorneys told the Senate committee last week that she had a fear of flying, thus they needed to delay the hearing until this week so that she could drive to Washington, D.C. So my question is that true? Is that true that you have a fear of flying? If so, then why did you fly to Washington, D.C., and why did we delay this a week?
Well, but I thought the another point, Walker, here, well, I would say somebody can take a pill and fly. I've known people who are scared of flying.
Right.
They take a pill or a shot of whiskey or something like that. I'm not advocating that. I'm just telling you.
Hopefully not the pilot.
I'm just telling you, I've known people who do that. They don't like to fly, but I'll do it if I can be out of it for a couple of hours. So maybe she did that. But I think the point you were making earlier is that Chairman Grassley offered to do this in her hometown, I guess.
That's correct.
So when she says, when the Professor Ford says it was unreasonable to expect her not to come to Washington, D.C., you're saying that Senator Grassley did offer to come there.
Yes. Chairman Grassley offered to send staffers to California.
You got no TV, you got no show with that. That's dead
that's
in the water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not gonna. Just, I don't think Feinstein and
Cory Booker,
they wouldn't have gone.
It shows the games, the obvious games that even her attorneys are playing. My client can't fly. Well, we'll fly to Washington, D.C. My client,
to California.
Let me ask you this, though. Coming from the other side for just a moment.
Sure.
For Professor Ford, on the other hand, and people don't throw things at your radio, just hear me out here, I think it is fair to ask this question. Why would she want to subject herself to all this? She's obviously not comfortable doing this, it doesn't appear to me. So why would she want to subject herself to all this if based on a false story that she's just making this up? You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
You got an answer for that one?
Well.
And Steve does.
I do not have an answer for that. If indeed the whole thing is made up, then she's in need of a lot of help. She's in bad trouble in every possible way. What is believable to me is that something happened and that she has misremembered a whole bunch of the facts, because really, she's been well coached, in my opinion, as you would expect. She can only remember the facts that implicate Brett Kavanaugh. She has forgotten or can't remember everything else.
Steve?
Kellyanne Conway brought almost the same point up as you did just now, Ray, which is they both may be right. She may have been assaulted, and Brett Kavanaugh may not have been at the party.
That explains why these two men that Walker talked about, which is not being discussed because we're in the middle of this soap opera on Capitol Hill. Two men, folks, where did you see this, Walker?
This is on the New York Post. I posted it on our Facebook page.
You put it on our Facebook page? So repeat again, two men what now?
Two men have come forth to the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Right.
And they've given sworn testimony. When you provide evidence to the Judiciary Committee and you begin exchanging messages with them, you are then under oath. And
you're lying to Congress if you lie in those communications.
So it's like lying to law enforcement. And so these two men have said, they've testified that it was not Brett Kavanaugh. It was the two of them, separate men.
With Ms. Ford?
They were the ones who sexually assaulted Dr. Ford in 1982 in the summer at a home in Georgetown.
What kind of person would say, I did this and want to...
Someone whose life has been changed by Jesus Christ.
Well, that's a good answer, Steve. Yeah. or at least they feel guilty about seeing an innocent man get his life ruined for something you know he didn't do. It was you instead.
It's hard to imagine two guys coming forward.
Two?
Making this up. I can't imagine.
As hard as it is to imagine Ms. Ford making this up, we just don't know what is made up and what is not. Walker, my question is, because I hadn't seen this.
Right.
Did they jointly, they're still friends, and they jointly decided that they were going to come forward with this?
I'm not sure. Okay. I just know that two men came forward, both individually came forward.
But it's sworn testimony.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Right, Walker. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim. With Walker and Steve Jordahl and Dr. Ray Pritchard, we appreciate you listening to AFR. You can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and Walker's, as he said, the sources that we use to discuss the issues here, Walker posts as many of them as we can on our Facebook page so that you can have access to them, the firsthand information there yourself. And if you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And, Steve, next.
You want to stay with Kavanaugh because I got something there, or else we can go somewhere else.
It's up to you, Steve.
All right. Let me just remind, to keep on the Kavanaugh thing, I just want to play a couple things. When the Democrats get their 5 minutes, in addition to telling Ms. Ford what a wonderful person she is and how she shouldn't have had to go through what she went through and how she's inspiring to the nation, they also remind the Senate committee here, the Republicans, that they have denied Ms. Ford an FBI investigation into this. Did we decide it was Leahy? This was Mr. Leahy. I might have missed
Senator.
Senator Leahy talking about that. Cut 11.
Mr. Chairman, you know, the way to make this inquiry truly credible is to do what we've always done when new information about a nominee comes to light. to use your words this morning, you want to reach the truth. The easy way to do that, ask the FBI to investigate. This is what we've always done. Let them investigate, report back to us. The same applies to the serious allegations made by Deborah Ramirez and Julie Swetnick. Let's have a nonpartisan professional investigation.
How quickly they forget. As we remembered yesterday during the Thomas hearing, this was Senator Biden.
And the last thing I'll point out, the next person that refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything. FBI explicitly does not, in this or any other case, reach a conclusion. Period. Period. The reason why we cannot rely on the FBI report, you wouldn't like it if we did, because it is inconclusive. They say he said, she said, and they said. Period. So when people wave an FBI report before you, understand, they do not reach conclusions.
There you go.
Wow. So there you got Thank Biden you, versus Joe Biden.
I think we grudge match, cage match.
I'm going with Biden on that one.
Yeah, you know what? And Biden's right on that there. Of course, he didn't mean it to ever come back to haunt the Democrats. But he's right, especially – when they keep calling for an FBI investigation, again, this is all just tactical moves by the Democrats. This is what's disturbing, most disturbing, I guess, about this whole thing is the motives here. The motives here for the Democrats are to delay the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh or kill it. This woman, Dr. Ford, is basically just someone to be used for that purpose. Right. So, when I keep hearing we need an FBI investigation, that's what the Planned Parenthood director said the other day. Okay, I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like what Joe Biden said there. Here's an FBI investigation of something 30. First of all, we don't have a police report. So you want the FBI to investigate something that hasn't even been reported to the local police.
Which,
right.
By the way, is a state crime, not a federal crime. So they have
right,
no
but
jurisdiction.
I mean, you would think if something rose to the level of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that there would be a local police report to at least start with.
Well, the Democrats are known for asking for things, for making demands that they all know cannot be met.
Right.
They all know
that's what I'm saying. It's just a delay thing. They know the FBI is going to say, "What'd you do, Judge?" Well, I wasn't even there. I don't know what she's talking about. What did he do, Professor Ford? Well, he tried to take my bathing suit off and force himself on me. All right, thank y'all. Appreciate it. Well, that's right. Our investigation. Because there are no other witnesses.
Right.
So that's you can take 12 hours, I guess, to do something like that. But in essence, that's what you're left with, which is what Joe Biden was saying about the Anita Hill. I guess she was saying Anita Hill.
The FBI gathers the facts, and then they present the facts to the committee. They don't come to conclusions on who's innocent and who's guilty.
But the facts, in quotations,
right,
are not necessarily facts.
It's just information.
They are her story, his story. Right, right, Ray?
Right, that's exactly right. You know, the interesting thing about this hearing is, and Steve, you alluded to this, it's 5 minutes for the Republicans, 5 minutes for the Democrats, right? So Rachel Mitchell gets to ask her questions, and she's good. She's clear, and she's thoughtful, measured, methodical, exactly what you want, right? She gets 5 minutes, and then the Democrats come back on, and they get their 5 minutes to praise Dr. Ford and so on. Really, at this point, the Democrats have got everything they want on the record because that opening statement was powerful. They're just running out the clock now until, because eventually the time's just going to run out, and then there's going to be a break, and then we're going to hear from Brett Kavanaugh. So the Democrats, give them credit. They're running out the clock on this. And Rachel Mitchell, if she had an hour uninterrupted, I think we could get down to the truth better, but it's just not going to happen.
And remember that Brett Kavanaugh will have the last say, so that does count for something. Ray, as long as you're giving kudos out, I'd like to commend Kamala Harris's staff. I mean, Kamala Harris, the
Democrat senator?
Democrat senator for California. Whatever else you think of her, she has a staff that is working overtime. Her staff or her office has put out 3,600 different Facebook ads about Kavanaugh saying, reject him and give my campaign money.
3,600? How is that even possible?
I don't know. She has a very, very diligent staff. Congratulations to Kamala Harris's staff. I just, you know.
You know, I said this when President Trump nominated Judge Kavanaugh. There's really not any need to go through any of this, quite frankly. For all practical purposes, you could have just said, you could have taken a vote right there. Huh? You could have taken a vote the day he announced, because all the Democrats, every single, with the possible exception of Joe Manchin, but I just think that...
The only way that this hearing is helpful is if one of the people testifying, whether it be Dr. Ford or Brett Kavanaugh, provide conclusive, beyond the shadow of a doubt, evidence that this event occurred or didn't occur.
They knew that was not going to happen before they invited her.
Right.
So
she's going to say it did. He's going to say it didn't.
And, and it's going to take 12 hours to do that. So we'll see what happens here today. Go ahead. You got one last story, Steve? Okay, we got.
We're going to get completely away from politics now, and this is. I'm going to file this one under the "What's good for the goose is good for the gay penguin." Okay. You remember a while ago when they had a study about and the gay lobby picked up on the fact that the penguins, same-sex penguins, were pairing off, and they made this. This is typical now. We see it in nature, so it must be normal and natural. Well, a gay penguin couple. Mm-hmm. At the zoo in Oslo, I think it is, Denmark, kidnapped the baby of a heterosexual penguin couple and took it as its own, because for some reason the gay penguin couple couldn't come up with babies of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's a penguin adoption agency that is available to them, but apparently this guy, this same-sex couple penguins.
Where do you get these stories,
Steve? I make them up. No, I don't. I don't. You'll find this one on Fox News.
I just have to ask, though, are there corroborating witnesses?
That's right.
How do we know?
Or is this heterosexual penguin just being accused without anybody?
What are we talking about here?
Without any evidence whatsoever.
Need a hearing. Call the FBI.
That's right.
Well, in concluding, folks, we sent out an email earlier this week asking you to pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his family, because what they've been going through with all this. I don't believe at all that he did these things that he's accused of when he was 17 years old. Because, as Ed said the other day, if you do something like what he's being accused of, you don't stop. Then you have a real problem. You're going to have multiple women coming forward saying that you tried to sexually abuse them or tried to rape them. So here we have 36 years and 60 women have come forward to say he's been nothing but a gentleman. They've never seen anything like what's being described. So, I don't believe this Judge Ford may be a case of mistaken identity.
She's saying 100% she's sure it's him, but
yeah,
she's not really sure about much else.
No, yeah, that's one thing she's not sure about.
Yeah, and all right. So we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.